We've just been in the pickup for a few minutes and arrived at the Stoke Holy Cross end of High Ash Farm, and we've got quite a view over the Tas Valley here, haven't we? And all the chimney pots of Dunstan Hall there, that always puts me in mind of Daphne du Maurier's book Rebecca and Mandalay.
Yes, wow, a lot of history. And it's not as old as it seems. And it went through a really difficult period in its life in the sort of late 1930s, early 1940s. So my father carted corn into the hallway and stored it in the ballroom at the entrance of Dunstan Hall with horse and cart with the metal wheels on. and it just shows how life can change out of the countryside.
It's a big Victorian Gothic pile, isn't it? Yeah. Now a hotel and golf course. I expect you go and play around there occasionally?
No, I go around, but drive around on the A140 right beside it.
I think Chris will never be a golfer. You don't approve particularly, do you?
No, it's good exercise, I must say, and the golf course is mainly on quite sandy soil on the edge of the Tas Valley. The Tas is between us and Dunstan Hall, and so it's quite a good use, and it does provide exercise and entertainment for not only the golfers but all the people that work at the hall, and it's good to see it back in full use. And it's quite a venue as well, but all we can see, apart from the big sequoia beside the hall at the entrance, are about, I don't know, 25-30 chimneys on top of that stack. What a lot of maintenance pointing them all.
Right, but originally they were one pot for each room there in
probably
the mansion there.
yes in its heyday. So quite a pad there, and anyway, we've got quite a pad in front of us. We're on the top of a hill on the edge of the Tas Valley. This is called the Chalk Pit Field, and just behind us is a very old quarry where chalk was dug to mix with the local fine sand to make mortar for all these old houses. We're right behind Stoke House, where my grandfather, Herbert John Skinner, who farmed at Marksall, behind us in the neighbouring village, and he retired here and spent his last days here. So a little bit of family history.
Lovely red brick Norfolk farm architecture there, very stout and very and the lovely pantiles on the roof.
Yes, and a lovely view over the Tas Valley, and I'd have to sit there while my father and his father had a chat, and I'd just watch the barn owls hunting at this time of the year over the marshes and the dikes. The dikes were all dug by hand as well. Dikes are the small drainage channels on the marshes down in the valley there. So memories of my childhood right beside there. And here we are, 70-odd years later, looking at some of the plants which would have been called weeds. And this is Etchium vulgar. Vulgar actually means common in Latin, so don't think of it as a vulgar plant. It's not. It's called Viper's bugloss. Bugloss is an old scientific name for ox tongue. So if we look at some of the leaves here,
and there's some colour as well straight away.
Oh, there is. And I'm just going to take one of the leaves off. There we are. You get hold of that, you'll see it's rough, it's hairy, and it's very bristly and quite coarse. And that's where the bugloss name comes from. And so you hold it up to the edge.
Well, it's prickly, isn't it?
It is, and there's hairs all over the leaf. So it's done that to stop itself being eaten by cattle. It's mildly toxic to horses and to cattle as well. They won't eat it. But viper, this really unusual name. You can see the flowers here. They're coming out. Just before they actually emerge, you have a little pink stamen coming out at the top near them. Those are the ones that are yet to open. And it's the most beautiful cobalt blue flower.
It's a tiny little bit of red as well.
That's
underneath.
It. That's where the bud is coming. So the little flowers have sort of, they're pink just before they open, and once they're open, it's quite a surprise. Here's one a little bit more advanced. You can see the pure pink look before the flower opens up. Once it's open, you have this beautiful cobalt blue colour, and it is stunning. It's one of our most beautiful wildflowers, particularly at this time of the year. Oh, the sun's just come out on it, and it's just glorious. So, viper just because the plants throw up these kind of curled flower stems that look rather like a viper that's about to pounce, if you like. There's also, when you look at the stems, not only are they prickly, but they're covered in kind of reddish spots that's meant to resemble a viper. Now, if you run your finger up and down that stem, you'll see that's hairy and bristly as well. So if I manage to find a seed that's about to open, if I go lower down the plant, this plant's been in flower for about a month. So if I go quite a way down, we'll see if we can find, oh, we can see a seed pod there. I'll take that off like that, quite tough. And if I open it up, if we're really lucky here, it's a bit of a, oh, I dropped one of them. There was two in there. The seed actually looks like an adder's head or a viper's head. And it was used, early medical uses for it was for snake bites, would you believe, because of the look-alike of the little tiny seed. I dropped the main one, unfortunately, but it's flattened at the top and curled, and it looks exactly like a snake's head, a viper's head, hence the name Viper's Bugloss. Oh, it's just coming out. Here it comes, a tiny little black seed, Etchium vulgar. There we are. Yep, it's just opened up and it's got almost like a mouth on it. So that's a little bit of history. What it likes is high pH soil, which this is here. And it's thriving here. And I don't mow this little bit. It's a hay field. But because this plant is so special, so beautiful, it's not a rare plant, hence vulgar in its name, common. but nevertheless, it just has specific requirements and how it likes. We have a cousin of it, which grows on much sandier soil on the east side of High Ash Farm, about a mile from where we are, and it's just called Bugloss, and it's exactly the same family, both Viper's Bugloss, this one in front of us, and Common Bugloss, beautiful paler blue flowers, are both members of the Borage family. So close cousin would be the borage you can grow in your garden, and there's several other species as well, closely related, but many of them have these hairy, bristly leaves, and this one is sort of going to come into flower next year.
That's a lovely rosette.
And it's
there,
made a perfect rosette. The leaves come out of the centre, they get quite large, and then they fold flat down onto the ground to suppress any grasses. See, there's a big clump of grass here growing beside this one. It's thrown its leaves up over the top of the grass, so it's kind of establishing its own little territory, and that's what plants do. It's doing it very discreetly over a long period of time, but that will be a stunning plant for this time next year. So in nature, there's always something that's either perennial, as our hawk bit was over in the other field. This one's a biennial, so it will throw out the seeds on the ground. They'll grow some smaller plants here, some just germinating. And then this one will go into full flower from about June next year till late September each year, even into October in special years. But as we found these in flower, I thought it's just appropriate to enjoy some of the colour that you can still see in autumn before those first frosts arrive and cut it all down to the ground.
That lovely blue colour, Viper's Bugloss. And presumably when you were growing crops on the farm, you wouldn't have wanted to see this.
No, very much a weed. And this is the odd thing, when I was talking about change of use of a Dunstan Hall over there, I learnt all these plants from the seedling stage in order to kill them. So you knew what chemical that you used, and we had a whole armoury of different chemicals, some for controlling grass weeds. You could even take wild oats out of your cereal field, a close relation to the cereals you were growing, and broad-leaved weeds and perennial weeds and beautiful wildflowers like this, which, so I'm a bit of a turncoat in farming terms, you could say, and just brings a huge smile to my face to see these thriving, because they almost became extinct on the farm because of this man kneeling on the ground here. So a bit of embarrassment, but they're welcome back, and also here close to one of the permissive walks for anybody to enjoy, and it's a plant to take your breath away.